Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, like I said, this is a bit of an unexpected discovery, you would have to say. First off, looking at the coffin itself, do we have any idea how the coffin came to be at Sydney Uni?
Yeah, the coffin's been here since 1860. And so I work at the Nicholson Museum. That's named after a guy called Sir Charles Nicholson. And he was one of the first founders, one of the first chancellors of the university. And in 1858, 1859, he decided that the university needed a museum. So he basically just went on a big shopping spree through Egypt, Greece, and Rome, buying antiquities off the market, which we wouldn't do today, but the 19th century was different. And he sent these back to the university in 1860 to found a museum, and that included this coffin.
What condition was this mummy in when you actually made this discovery, when you took the lid off and discovered these human remains?
Yeah, it was really an astonishing moment. So we knew that there was something inside. We had some sort of records of being mixed debris, but really we didn't think that meant more than a few bandages or possibly a couple of bones. So what you have to imagine is that tomb robbers have stolen this coffin out of the tomb sometime in the mid-19th century or earlier. And so they cut this mummy apart, looking for all the jewels and all the amulets that were wrapped up inside the mummy. Then the mummy's been transported to a dealer's shop, probably somewhere in Cairo or thereabouts. It's then been purchased by Nicholson, shipped it to London, to the British Museum very quickly for a quick assessment. And then it's been shipped all the way to Sydney. And this is by the Roaring Forties because there's no Suez Canal at this point. And it's almost certainly been stored on its head during one of those voyages because everything's shunted up to the head end of the coffin. So, I mean, Sean, the best way I can describe it is just imagine picking up a coffin and shaking it about like some big martini shaker. And that's kind of what you're looking at, this just mixture of bandages and beads and bones and chunks of hardened resin. It's just an astonishing assemblage.
Just how astonishing was it for yourself and your team? I mean, what was that feeling opening up the coffin and actually discovering this sitting in there for at least the last 150 years, sitting there in a back room with nobody the wiser?
Yeah, we all went very quiet at that moment. Very humbling, actually, because we knew we had a responsibility for this individual to make sure that those remains were properly cared for. But also, it's almost a unique research opportunity because museums across the world have mummies in their collection. I mean, there's a new exhibition that's just opened in Queensland from the British Museum showcasing all their mummies. These are all complete mummies. And, you know, 100 years ago, people would buy a complete mummy off the market and invite people round with invitations to their house and have mummy unwrapping parties without unwrapped bandages and hand the amulets out like a sort of pass the parcel. But we can't do that anymore and we shouldn't do that anymore. So to have an opportunity here where the remains are very degraded, very mixed, but we can actually physically handle the bones. We can actually physically look for the pathologies on this person and really get some very intimate insights in terms of their diet, diseases, lifestyle, how they live, why they might have died. All of these very immediate questions that we can ask complete mummies. We have to do it through CT imagery. Here, we can do all the CT imagery and everything, but we've also got the opportunity to excavate and really handle the remains properly.
It is absolutely astonishing. I know this is kind of the central question of the investigation, but do you have any hints? Do you have any ideas or theories as to who this poor beggar who's been locked away in this coffin actually might be?
Oh, mate, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Well, we know the coffin itself because it's got hieroglyphs, some beautifully made hieroglyphics on the lid and the sides. And we know that that coffin was made for a woman, and that woman's name was Menesetes, and that she worked in a temple of one of the goddesses, a temple called Sekhmet, who is the Egyptian goddess with a lion head. Now, the million-dollar question, of course, is does the remains inside actually, are they the remains of Menesetes herself? Because it's not always that clear cut, because when people in the 19th century were buying coffins from the market, people like Sir Charles Nicholson would go into a dealer's shop and they would say, you know, here's £100 for a coffin and £150 if there's a mummy inside. And so the dealers would have a stack of coffins and a stack of mummies out the back and just sell them as an ensemble piece. In this case, though, the more work we do on this, the more quietly confident I am that the remains actually represent Menesetes herself. We'll probably never know for sure, But if it is Monique the test, it's got to be someone who's an adult, got to be someone who's female, and got to be someone who died around about 600 BC. And we're starting to put all of these bits of information in place.
Absolutely fascinating. Jamie, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one.
Oh, it's my pleasure.